Welcome to Manager Tools. Today's cast, Business Travel Packing, Part 1. The questions this cast answers are, what should I pack when I'm going on a business trip? How do I make what I need fit into one suitcase? And how do I stop my clothes getting wrinkled when packing? If you'd like the answer to these questions and more, keep listening. Don't let inflation deter you from training your people. If you bring manager tools into your organization, either virtually or in person, you'll receive an almost 50% discount from our public conference offerings. If you've got a group of close to 30 attendees, take advantage of this affordable opportunity and the ability to customize training to your organization. Email us at maggie@manager-tools.com to learn more.
For a while, we've been waiting to talk about this.
Oh my gosh. And such a good topic. So top of mind. Near and dear. Thank you. Exactly. Folks, for years, people have predicted that technologies, things that we have now like Zoom and Microsoft Teams, would lead to the decline and eventual death of business travel. Now, what we've noticed, having, you know, rebounded fully from a worldwide pandemic is, of course, that's not happened. We're human, and humans do better with face-to-face connection. It's true. It's always been true. It'll always be true. And in-person meetings are the best way to ensure that things like a complex project does really well. Technology has led to a globalization of business, and that has increased the need for us to get on airplanes.
Which means packing a bag. If you get on an airplane, pack a bag. And based on what we've seen on travel, some people are still trying to figure it out.
Mm-hmm. What we've seen on airplanes. Yes.
Yeah. We've got some tips for y'all. And we are really hoping to make it easier for you. For example, of how easy. I myself regularly travel for 3 weeks in a row in one carry-on bag. I once went from Las Vegas to Bangkok to Idaho Falls to Steamboat Springs, Colorado in one trip with a stop to do laundry in the middle. So there's that. One of our founders, Mark, once was on a 23-day, five-country trip without checking a bag. And Sarah, you've definitely done a bunch of this. But you're also about to leave, right?
Yeah, I leave in 2 days, 3 days from now for a 24-day trip. And the stops on the trip include San Francisco, Barcelona, London, rural Scotland, and northern Canada, all in one overhead suitcase.
Mm-hmm. So even if you're a female traveler, which we will admit, in the past, it's definitely been harder if you're a female traveler. There's some tricks now that make it a little bit easier. You could do it, y'all. Yeah. You could do this.
Yes. You can do this, and you will thank us for doing it. You will.
Right. We can put you on a plane on travel for 3 weeks with one carry-on suitcase. Mm-hmm. And in order to do it, we have six recommendations we want to make to you. There's a lot here. Mm-hmm. There's a lot that goes into it. So, six things. Do not check a bag. Don't do it. You need a wheeled carry-on bag. Mm-hmm. You're going to use some dry cleaning bags. Mm-hmm. So go to the dry cleaner. You put your undergarments at the bottom. You put your primary clothes in the middle or on top. Only one extra pair of shoes max. Mm-hmm. And the real surprise here is you can pack toiletries. Mm-hmm. So that's like the seventh piece.
Curveball. So.
Surprise.
The surprise. All right.
Surprise. So,
the first step, and Kate really specifically paused in going over today's outline. It is the most important piece, folks. Do not check a bag.
Don't do it.
This is a simple tenet of the core recommendation of business travel. You do not check bags when you're on a business trip. Period. You don't do it. Not check bags.
Yeah. And okay, we don't mean to make your life harder by suggesting this.
No, we mean to make it easier, in fact.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It takes preparation, but it reduces risk. And if you are a savvy traveler, the reduction of risk also will reduce your feelings of anxiety, your worry, your concerns. Yes. You're not going to have questions. It's also going to save you time at both ends at the airport. So yeah, it's going to take a little longer for you to pack. Okay.
Yeah.
Let's use our time packing at home where we don't have anxiety, where we don't have concern, where we don't have worry. We have time, as opposed to adding those emotional responses, those issues, and it frees up our time while we're traveling.
Absolutely.
And if you talk to any frequent traveler, they'll tell you the same thing. They'll tell you, don't do it. It doesn't matter if it's a day trip or a week-long trip. It doesn't matter where you're going. Checking bags, it increases your uncertainty, which really genuinely is the wrong approach to packing. If you check a bag, the likelihood that you will arrive without your luggage is at least doubled, if not tripled. Yeah,
of course it is, because otherwise you would have had your bag with you. Now, the part, the sticking point I'm going to say, Kate, that I've found the least helpful is, what if your flight is delayed? And in order to catch your ultimate flight to the destination, you need to switch flights at the last minute. But now, you've already checked your bag. It's going to be on a different airplane, going to a different destination. There's very little you can do to recover. What if your flight gets canceled? What if you have to rearrange your itinerary? What if you then go to the individual at the counter and you say, hey, I need to switch flights? They're going to ask you immediately, have you checked any bags? And folks, it is a security concern to send an individual's packed luggage on a flight that they themselves are not on. The airlines won't do it. If your luggage is going to a place, you must go to that place. Otherwise, you're stuck. So in terms of your flying, of your packing bags, at very best, there's going to mean time for your bag to get offloaded, which means you won't be able to make quick decisions. And there's a whole different cast that could be found here under the airline choices, flexibility, etc. But for now, the thing we're addressing is one bag with you, not checked.
And okay, so that is all true. What if you have two flights? What if you get on you have a connection. If you have a connection and you have a bag, you've just doubled the chances for your bag to get lost.
Yeah.
Your bag could end up not getting on the first plane. It could equally likely end up not getting on the second plane. I used to have, and this is like, maybe it's like a pro tip, because my bag, and we'll get to bags in a minute, because my bag was pretty common.
Yep.
And I've since bought it in a different color in order to fix this problem. I had on it in an iron-on patch.
Yeah.
Near the top, like when it's a four-wheeled bag, right? So like you're wheeling it, had like an iron-on patch on top. And the patch was kind of silly. Like it was like just a shape patch. Like it was a star, whatever. And one time they made me gate check my bag. So they took my bag from me to put it, you know, because it doesn't fit in the overhead. Yeah. And I had to change planes, change itinerary. And thank goodness gracious that my bag had that shape star on it. Because there's four black rollerboard suitcases in the gate check area. And thankfully I was able to say, listen, this bag, it has a patch on it that you can find.
Yeah.
And huge risk. Now, sometimes they take your bag away. Okay.
Yeah.
Check your route. Go on FlightAware. Look for your route. Are you on an RJ? Will your bag fit? Also, get a bag that fits international carry-on requirements.
Do
it's much
that.
Smaller. So then there's a better chance. But okay. So that's an example, again, of like another way that your bag could get not to where you're going.
Yeah.
There's more reasons, though. Biggest one, I think, that some people don't maybe consider is that if you have to check a bag, there's a line at check-in. So yeah. you get to the airport and your plan is to check a bag. You have to go to the counter. You have to stand in a line and like it takes time. And okay, yeah, maybe you're comfortable with that. Airline apps, though, now allow you to check in 24 hours in advance. Mm-hmm. If you're not going to check it back, you can skip the line.
Yeah.
So for me, when I get out of the Uber at the Austin airport, I have clear and pre-check, and I don't check a bag. I haven't checked a bag in, at least 10 years.
Yeah.
It takes me 6 minutes from the Uber dropping me off to through security.
Yeah.
That would mm-hmm. be easily doubled, if not tripled, if I check a bag, because I have to stand in a line. And then, of course, you know, they want to chat and blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. And you still have to go through security. You have to go. And you still have another bag.
Yeah.
Like you have like a personal item, right?
Yeah. Oh, dude. For our international listeners, I've never found this to be the case in North America. However, recently, I was in Australia and we arrived early to the airport more than 2 hours before our flight because I had to take a call, a business meeting, and I was going to do it in the airline lounge prior to boarding my flight. So I got to the airport, I'm going to say 3 hours early. And because we had a package, we were there, we were working with a client. I had to take supplies from one city to the next. I had to check a bag full of supplies that I had to get to Sydney as part of that many leg trip.
Mm-hmm.
Got to the airport 3 hours before my flight. And guess what I found when I went to the ticket counter? They were not allowing people to check their bags more than 2 hours before the flight.
Ugh.
So I stood there in like just the airport, like in the ticketing area, and waited for them to open baggage to be able to check my luggage. It was the worst thing ever. And immediately I thought to myself, never again. Mm-mm. Every time I've ever done this, something mm-hmm. bad happens. And I mean, you might think to yourself, there are kiosks at ticket counters. It allows you to print your own boarding pass without seeing an agent. For example, you don't always need to get in line. And sure. But if you have a bag to check, you're going to have mm-hmm. to wait in line to talk to someone.
Or just to give your bag, like sometimes some airlines will let you print a little thing to put on the handle, but you still have to get in line to give it to the people.
Exactly.
Like the next people.
Yeah. And sure, maybe it's not a big, long, huge line.
Not
most
today.
Most times, except that one time in Australia when you need to get through security to have a call with a client. And now you're not able to check your suitcase for some random reason on the worst day possible. And even if your plane isn't delayed, and even if you've thought about avoiding things like, I'm going to say Dallas on a late afternoon in August so you don't have to go through the thunderstorms, which are going to mm-hmm. be there. If we're talking Dallas in August, avoid it. But even if you've avoided the last flight and you've taken into account every single thing that could possibly go wrong, something could go wrong.
Well, and also there's all this other people who haven't thought of it and you're in line with them.
Yeah.
You're maybe behind the guy who's chapped.
Oh, yes.
How often are you at the desk and there's somebody there mm-hmm. and they're mad? They want something and they're not getting it and they're... I was at a Hertz counter the other day and the guy refused to leave until somebody helped him and the thing that he wanted no one could do. And so he was just standing. But I mean, that could happen at the airport. So, okay, you're just increasing your risk. You're increasing your uncertainty.
Increasing risk, exactly.
You're increasing the time you spent at the airport.
Mm-hmm.
And okay, yeah, we do think about thunderstorms in Dallas in August and we do think about ice in Chicago in January and that's a pro tip advanced level course. So we're going to stick to the basics here. Mm-hmm. The point is that we're really trying to help you eliminate the possibility of delays or reductions in flexibility. You have a delay at every single line you have to be mm-hmm. in. You reduce your flexibility if your bag isn't with you. We're trying to reduce uncertainty.
Mm-hmm.
But the best thing about this is, y'all, is that when you arrive, you don't have to wait for your bags when you land.
Yeah.
If you have your bag and you let's say you get upgraded to first. You get off that plane. Mm-hmm. You can be out the front door in under 5 minutes, yep. Which means you're first in line at the rental counter.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right? So, like, okay, internationally too. If you get off the plane internationally, mm-hmm. it's 45 minutes to get your bag. But then mm-hmm. let's say you don't even have to do that. Like, it's not international, so it's shorter. But then you have to get to the Uber, the cab, mm-hmm. the rental car. If there's cars, okay, cool. But if you checked your bag, you're the last person in line.
Yeah.
For the rental car. And the airports deal with people in waves.
Yeah.
If you don't have to wait for your bag, you're the first person to pick up a rental car.
That's exactly
you're the
what
first
you
person
be.
To get an Uber. Mm-hmm. You're the first person on the hotel shuttle.
Right.
It's so much easier. And even if, like, let's say you have global entry and you're coming in or out of the country, y'all, if you don't have to wait for your bag, I think I once waited for a bag after coming back from London. I waited for a bag for like an hour because it was raining.
Yeah.
And that was really rough. Uh-huh. It was, you just want to go home. Like yeah. you're done. You've been gone
you're
for a
done.
While. You just want to go home. And right. you can't because you are waiting on your own clothes.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And they're not giving them to you.
Right. They're not giving them to you. I mean, and even if you have, let's say, a ride, it's, let's say somebody's coming to pick you up.
Sure.
There's a predictability that comes
oh,
with
yeah.
being able to say, my flight lands at such and such time. This is the flight number. Track it.
Yeah.
I don't have bags. I'll be walking straight out the door. You can assume yeah. within 15 minutes of that plane landing, you're going to be walking out the door. It's much different if you're like, well, I landed this time. I'm going to have to wait for luggage. Who knows how long that'll take? And I'm sure I can't be the only person who's noticed a difficulty in airport ease, I'm going to call it, including baggage being delivered in a timely fashion, due to the fact that people are struggling to get staff mm-hmm. and ground crew. Now,
yeah.
your bags could be anywhere. And what? And that's just, I mean, let's say all of that is assuming your bags get to you. What about
right.
your bags are lost or they're delayed or they got put on the wrong aircraft, which has definitely happened. Who mm-hmm. wants to sit there now, having flown to wherever they are, waiting in the airport till 2 a.m. to get their bags before a job interview? And
you don't.
Exactly. You don't want to go to where you're going, your job interview, let's say, for example, sweaty in the clothes that you arrived. No matter how good you are in an interview, it's not, you're not going to easily recover from that. It's going
to be
really difficult. Exactly. And the way you feel and the way you react and act in that interview is going to be shaped by this traumatic event.
I've been on trips before that are short and people's bags get delayed so long that the bag doesn't ever get to the destination.
Mm-hmm.
Like if you're only there for 2 nights, there's a solid yeah. chance if your bag's delayed, it's for longer than that. And so you never get your bag. In
yeah.
fact, I've had it's and it's really hard to get the airline to just send your bag back home.
Yeah.
So your bag is still going to go. To
yeah,
Anchorage.
It's too late now. It's gone.
Yeah.
It's
still has to make the full mm-hmm. trip and then it has to come back.
Yeah.
Also, something that I have done, and I don't know if you've done this yet, Sarah, but I have an AirTag in my
oh,
suitcase.
I do not have an AirTag in my suitcase.
I have an AirTag in my suitcase partially because sometimes they do gate check your bag. Like
mm-hmm.
sometimes they take it. It won't
yeah,
fit
it
and
won't
they take
fit
it.
In the overheads. Yeah.
Right. And if that's the case, the AirTag setting on my phone is set that if my bag gets too far away from me, I get an alert. And what that means is if my bag gets gate checked and it doesn't get on my plane, I know where it is. So when the airline is like, well, blah, 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 it's like, no, I can see my bag is on the tarmac in Charlotte
yeah.
or whatever. So that's really helpful. Also, y'all, if you're the person who's picking people up from the airport and they didn't check a bag, you need to be there at the time that this flight says it's going to land because flights land a few minutes earlier than they say they're going to land. Which means if you get there 10 or 15 minutes after it lands, mm-hmm. you might be late. If they got upgraded to first,
yeah.
they've been standing outside. And because I live in Austin, they've been standing outside in the heat. And okay, we could go on and on because
yeah.
this is
There's
genuinely the cardinal rule of business yeah. travel, which is do not check bags.
Mm-hmm.
Don't do it. On July 19th, we're hosting an effective hiring manager event virtually. So you can sign up online, come to the event, learn about effective hiring for your organization, how to create more effective organizations by hiring the right people. We'd love to see you July 19th. Sign up at manager-tools.com/training.
Let's talk now about getting a wheeled carry-on bag. This is basically, if step number one, don't check your bags, was the cardinal rule, this is basically cardinal rule number two. It follows closely behind. So let's start with wheels. Four is better than two. That is, four is easier to roll. It makes it easier to move. And you can stack your personal item bags on top of a wheeled suitcase more securely.
A four-wheeled suitcase.
Yes.
A two-wheeled, you have to drag it and like it's wobbly.
It's wobbly. It's not flat. And two wheels is fine. If you're going to pack everything in one bag, it's going to be heavier than you might expect. That's something to keep in mind. When you're at the store buying your luggage, if you're wheeling it around completely empty, it's not going to wheel like that when you get it packed. So something to keep in mind. Even though it might seem like it wheels really well at the store, it's a different story. And since you're going to have to carry it more, there's a huge advantage to having wheels. That is, if you're not going to be checking your bag, you're going to be, I'm going to call it lugging around the airport with you, you're going to want to be able to roll it. It's why business travelers in first class are using wheeled suitcases. They fly a lot. And in terms of having that suitcase, they want to be able to take it on board with them, not check the suitcase, easy to move around. And let's face it, people who are in first class probably travel more. That's why they're in first class. It's not because they're rich or affluent. Right. It's because they have to be in these seats often. And they've learned the hard way so that you don't have to. That four wheels is the best option.
Yeah. And a four-wheeled roll aboard, which by the way, I, for a long time, heard it as roller board.
Not as opposed to roll aboard?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like,
okay.
I thought it was like, you know, if you like, because they used to, most suitcases used to be two wheels. And so I thought of it as like a rolling board because it's got that hard back.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
And so I was like, sure. Roller board, but it's not. It's roll aboard, which maybe I'm the only person who heard it wrong. Four wheels is better.
Yeah.
Go for it. We also, listen, y'all, brands, sizes. Yes. The key thing to look for is 22 inches. That's the maximum length of bag that fits in an overhead compartment. Mm-hmm. There are people who will tell you that it can be longer than that, that you would just turn it sideways.
At your own risk.
Yeah, because they'll get they'll catch you and you'll be made to check it. And they have redesigned bins based on these dimensions. So 22 inches is basically industry speak for, you can carry this on and put it in the overhead bin. The US standard is 22 inches by 14 by 9. And again, if you're really trying to make sure that you can account for all scenarios, an international travel carry-on size is a little smaller, and a little smaller is a little better in terms of like, will I be able to get this on the plane?
Agreed.
There's a lot of brands that are fine, totally fine. There's a lot. Briggs & Riley is what I have. It's a little higher end, so just a fair warning on that. Lots of executives, frequent flyers use it. They make their own briefcases, laptops that, like a it could be your personal item, and they have a sleeve that slides it down the
handle,
the telescoping handle. There's also a company that I use because my personal item does not have the sleeve to slide down the telescoping handle. There's a company called Cincha, and they make a stretchy, essentially, like, I don't know. It's a, it's a wrap for your bag. Now I'm making it sound kind of silly that it has a buckle and it slides down the telescoping handle. So you can wrap it around any bag. And I have found it really helpful for keeping my bag on top of the Briggs & Riley bag. Mm-hmm. So it's called Cincha Travel, C-I-N-C-H-A. If you have four wheels though, you almost don't need anything to keep. Yeah. You don't really need.
It can sit on top of gravity.
Right. Gravity is holding it. Yeah. That's the problem with tipping the bag with two wheels, right? Is that gravity pulls it, not directly down.
Mm-hmm.
So you have like exactly. The moment arm is wrong. So Travel Pro makes a good bag. The brand Away makes a good carry-on bag that's hard-sided. It's worth noting, Briggs & Riley has a lifetime warranty. So if something's wrong with it, you can send it back to them and yeah. they'll fix it. And mm-hmm. they'll send it back to you. So it's like lifetime for free, which is really great. Which I sent them really back great. Bags. It's just really nice. Funny story, I was explaining to somebody the other day that four-wheeled roll-aboard bags are the reason that airports are replacing their flooring.
Oh, from carpet to...
I knew you'd know.
That, laminate or...
Like terrazzo.
Linoleum, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, tile. Hard surfaces. Mm-hmm. Because most people are wheeling their bags now, especially four-wheeled yeah. bags. The friction of carpet
yeah.
makes it much more difficult. So mm-hmm. no checking a bag, which means you need a good carry-on, which means you should buy smart your carry-on.
Mm-hmm.
And also Wirecutter every other year comes out with a really extensively tested list. Like I think they like throw the bags down three flights of stairs put them outside and freeze them three times because that's apparently what happens to your bag yeah. in Michigan. They do a fantastic and slightly insane, in my opinion, level of testing for the bags. So the Wirecutter recommendation is usually quite good. They recommend the carry-on bag by Away.
Mm-hmm.
There's that.
I like that. Very cool. Mm-hmm. All right. So now let's move into the contents of the bag, starting with use dry cleaning bags.
I don't think people saw this recommendation coming.
I know, right? And folks, this isn't a cardinal rule, but this is a pro tip. I mean, what we're recommending here is essentially that you wrap your clothes, not your undergarments, but all of your blouses, shirts, pants, skirts, suits, your primary wear, the larger items of clothing that you're going to be taking in dry cleaning bags. Now, I should have mentioned this. Not jeans. You don't have to put your jeans in them.
Yeah, it won't help.
But
jeans don't really wrinkle.
Yeah, jeans don't really wrinkle. We'll talk about jeans in a second. But what we're talking about when we say dry cleaning bags is those clear bags that when your clothes are returned clean from the dry cleaner, are hanging over your clothes to prevent debris sticking to your clothes. Essentially, don't throw them away here. We're going to reuse them. And when you take them off of your dry cleaning, fold them neatly, put them in a drawer somewhere, in a basket, in a corner of your closet, somewhere that you can keep those little guys.
Yeah, I have a trash, like what's essentially like, it's a wicker trash can in my closet.
And okay,
I strip the bags off. I actually just roll them up and put them in the trash can.
Yeah.
It's never had trash in it. It's just for this, like I bought it for this specific purpose.
Oh, for like this little, like a basket on a shelf. Yeah.
Yeah. Kind of. This is a basket.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And okay, so we're going to take them off your clothes. We're going to roll them up, fold them, put them somewhere useful. Then when you pack, you put all of your primary garments into those clear bags. And what these dry cleaning bags essentially do is allow for you to pack much more and virtually guarantee all of your clothes are going to come out of your bag without any wrinkles in them.
You will be shocked. You will not believe us. You will be shocked. You will say to yourself, that cannot possibly be true. And then you will do it. I travel often, really often. In fact, it's part of my like work uniform on travel with silk blouses. 100% silk. And people ask me all the time, how did you get that shirt here? Because it still has the lines from the dry cleaner, like in the creases, arms. Like I slide one shirt inside the clear bag, right? As if it was on a hanger, but it's not. There's no hanger. And then I take another shirt and lay it on top of the bag. And then I simply roll it like a burrito or a towel. And then I fold it on top of itself, like in half, and I put it in the suitcase. And there's no wrinkles. 100% silk. It's incredible. No one's going to believe us.
I love that. No, you've got to try it. This is one of those things, folks. We're going to say it. You're going to say, that doesn't work. There's no way that works. You're going to have to try it. Trust us. It's worth it.
It works. And okay, so the shirt example highlights, you don't need one dry cleaning bag for every garment.
Yeah, exactly.
Do it. You can use one dry cleaning bag for multiple garments. Like for pants, right? You take the dry cleaning bag, you fold two pairs of pants, fold them, slide them into the bag next to each other. And then you can put another pair of pants on top and fold mm-hmm. the whole thing.
Yeah.
So essentially it's like dry cleaning bag, sandwich, and the middle
sandwich,
is pants, which is fun. They can't be on top of each other inside the bag. They have to have plastic in between each other. Mm-hmm. And the bag is long enough for that. And then you just fold it and it's safe. It works for skirts, shirts, mm-hmm. dresses. So, yeah. Mm-hmm. And we've got some previous examples of this on the website. There's some like slides for licensees. And we'll probably make a video for socials too.
Yeah.
Of packing. I haven't had to pack for a 3-week trip in a while. Well, that's not true. It's only been a couple months, but I should make a video of it.
Like a little video so that people can kind of see and
understand how to do it. And there are slides if you're a licensee.
All right. Now that we've kind of talked about how to pack things, and Kate did mention silk shirts, touch on the types of clothes. Mm-hmm. When you're considering what should I buy, what are the most durable, easiest to travel in types of clothes? Think about your fabrics, essentially. And there are a lot of performance fabrics out there for men and for women.
Mm-hmm.
So, for example, golf fabric in men's pants is really good. Less wrinkles. I mean, mm-hmm. you can take it out, shake it off. It looks as good as when you packed it. One of the brands that we use, Kate and I think, is M.M. Lafleur.
Mm-hmm.
Who makes really great women's clothing in fabrics that don't wrinkle and can be machine washed. And this takes us a little bit off course, but I'm going to do it anyway. In that, if you're one of those people that's traveling often, that is, your ability to turn over outfits really quickly is of benefit to you. Having a fair amount of clothing that can be turned over after you put it in the washer and dryer at home matters, because you might have to send things out to the dry cleaner and realize, I've completely run out of slacks. Now what?
Yeah.
Now what you do need, I do?
You need at least 3 outfits for the week. I mean, at minimum. Yeah. And then you need a whole nother set, because if you drop everything, let's say you fly, like we do, you fly out Monday.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you come home Wednesday night, maybe you come home Thursday. You want to look nice on the plane. Okay. Then you drop everything off on Thursday. Heaven forbid you come home on Friday. You can't pick it up on Sunday.
No.
The dry cleaner's closed and you fly out on Monday.
Yeah.
And do you really want to go on Saturday, your one day where you're not in meetings, and your one Down day where you have like time with your family, to go to the dry cleaner?
Mm-hmm.
You don't.
Right. And that's
really
if your
don't.
Dry cleaner can do it in 2 days. I mean, my previous dry cleaner, I would have a 4-day turnaround. And now. Yeah. You're completely hosed. You need at least 2 weeks of, I mean, it's just the whole thing, guys. It's all a thing.
You really do. Yeah. And okay, so cotton doesn't travel really well, y'all.
Yeah.
Wool is better.
Mm-hmm.
Even if where you are going is casual, definitely consider like technical fabrics, because that is absolutely a benefit. Though you also could consider like light wool, like a really light wool, like a summer wool. It doesn't wrinkle as much.
Yeah.
Right. And, cotton definitely stays wrinkled.
Mm-hmm.
I was in Savannah. You were also, we've been in Savannah recently, and I wore a pair of like cotton slacks in real life.
Yeah.
Like, it wasn't, you know, there for
personal
work. Man, if it's humid, you stand up, your slacks are done. That's not a thing. Like there's just the wrinkles are in them. The heat has pressed the wrinkles into your clothes.
Yeah, exactly.
But wool doesn't really do that. So if you wear wool trousers the first day and you hang them up, maybe in the bathroom where you are, the steam from the shower could kind of steam them. I steam stuff in the bathroom when I'm showering all the time. Honestly, they're probably good to go for like the third day. Cotton, not so much.
Yeah.
Really not likely that it can be worn a second time without washing.
Yep.
And if you think, oh, it's probably fine. Dude, we can tell. We know.
That's all for today, folks. Join us again next week for a continuation of our topic.